In a church divided between solid biblical theology and a church culture focused on what I call entertainianity, how can Christians really change the world around them? Today's guests will explain right now. Welcome, everybody, to the Skywatch Television Studios. We are wrapping up a conversation we've been having for the last few weeks. It's not a program you're going to want to miss. We're talking about the book Dark Covenant, and I'm going to introduce the authors right now. She's a credentialed private investigator that oversees the research arm of Skywatch TV and Defender Publishing, Allie Henson. She's a credentialed ordained reverend with a degree in Bible and theology, a powerful voice in Christian television, Donna Howell. We are going to try, I'm using the word try, to wrap up what has been a really explosive series. I think the audience that's in-house today, as well as the viewers at home, you guys have just been on a roll these last few weeks, blowing people's minds. The statistics, Donna, that you've shared, where the church is at, the modern Western church, how we have utterly failed to correctly, theologically train the up-and-coming youth of today, brand-new believers, maybe with the exception of Christian Ministries Academy, who's with us here today. Wonderful program. They're teaching solid biblical theology to young people. You guys have no idea how blessed you are to be in an environment like that every day. Absolutely. And we need 1,000 more operations just like them because we believe that's part of the solution, don't we, ladies?
Yep.
Let's get right back into the book, Dark Covenant. But before we do, let me set this up. I want to read to you the subtitle. The book is Dark Covenant, How the Masses Are Being Groomed to Embrace the Unthinkable While Leaders of Organized Religion Make a Deal with the Devil. If you've missed the last few weeks, you've got to go back to the archives and play a little catch-up. We're going to dive right in with you, Donna. The two of you kind of end the book with a bold dare to members of the church. What's that about?
Yeah, we absolutely double dog dare the readers to do something about if they feel like we go through the entire book and we show them all of these demoralizing statistics and realities. Mm-hmm. We want them to understand we only got you there so we could now say this. We double dog dare you to do something about it. Now, what do we do about it? That's the question. Because first of all, it's a shift in mentality. We want the readers and you at home to understand there is coming a split in the church. Okay? Now, I happen to believe for my own personal reasons that it's going to come on the cuff or in the thrust of a great awakening, but it may not. But there will be a split. Eschatologically speaking, according to the book of Revelation, there is no way around it. Now, it could be looked at in this horrible light where we're all going to, you know, sit around and cry and say, hey, ho, there's coming a church split. What are we going to do? It's a cleansing. First of all, stop assuming everything about that split is going to be bad. But it's going to happen like this, and you're going to have the remnant over on this side. The people who don't fit the statistics, who said, I never fit those statistics. The people who, like Michael Lake identified, I have been at home and my home church. I have been preaching truth. My congregation has been dwindling into a micro congregation. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say because it doesn't just give a warm hug to all of the sin toleration that is becoming the thrust of the modern church. To them, they're going to be a part of the remnant. That means we're going to go underground. It sounds scary, but it's not the first time. Have you ever heard of the ichthus? Or the ichthys, depending on the transliteration. It's the little fish symbol, right? Most Christians have it on the back of their car and they don't even understand it. This was a symbol.
It's the Jesus fish.
It's the Jesus fish. Or they think it has something to do with loaves and fishes. But actually, this was a symbol that identified in the early church who was a follower of Christ. So if you're standing in the marketplace and you're trying to figure out, is that guy a disciple? I think that guy's a disciple. You draw half of the fish on the ground. And if he comes by and he draws the other half and completes the fish, you know he has just identified himself as a disciple of Jesus. But if they don't complete the fish, well, it just looks like you were just drawing a little blah, 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 drawing a thing in the sand, right?
Yes.
There will be a new generation of underground communication that takes place. How does it start? It starts with microcongregations, mm-hmm. home churches. It starts with the revival at the grassroots. We're talking vineyard churches like what happened in the Jesus People movement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're talking about radicals who will let nothing stop them. I keep talking about radicals. I'm a one-trick pony. I can't stop talking about radicals. But there is going to be a generation of radicals that is going to rise up. They're going to feel the call. They're going to open up their home and say, let's read the Bible together. We can do feel-good theology afterward and kind of decide what's happening, but I'm going to start with the Great Commission. Okay. This is who Jesus was. This is what he did. This is what sin is. Did you even know that he died for you? When someone tells you that Jesus died for you, do you even know what that means? Or is it more of like this weird mystical thing that Christians say? We're going to start there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Start back at the beginning. Do what Jesus told you to do, because listen, I love what Michael Heiser says. Michael Heiser says, with all of what scholars love to get together and talk about. He even said, it cracked me up at Defender Conference 2019. He said, we can talk about Nephilim all day. We can even trap one in a cage. But if you are not about the coming of Christ, the way he came the first time, what he did, what the Great Commission was, what this is all about, then you are all for naught. You are a scholar who is all for naught.
Yep.
I want to stand behind that and say, my husband have already and I have already taken the challenge. I challenge you at home to do the same thing. We opened up our home. It's by invite only, but we opened up our home.
Right.
We are running a church out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
This means you can get together one-on-one with someone. They don't have the rest of the congregation making them feel all weird and pressury about an altar call that they have to stand up and make a big declaration for. It follows the New Testament model. It has a proven track record now. If you're wondering why, my husband's behind that camera. But it has a proven track record now. It doesn't cost a dime. It takes place in an organic, customized schedule, so there's never any ministry burnout. It's very, very nature accomplishes exactly what the true meaning of communion is, because I swear, if Paul could talk to about the Dixie cups and oyster crackers, the love feast, the original communion, it was a love feast. You more accomplish that when you have somebody over and you break bread with them and you take your time to disciple them so that they fully understand the commitment that they're making to Christ. It's not just raise your hand, now go home and continue to watch that poison that you're watching on your computer, because you don't even know it's a sin to begin with.
Right.
And it continues to be something that brings our family back together at home. And last and finally, the government can't shut you down.
Yeah.
So the next time there's a COVID shutdown and there's a big quarantine, you are off the charts. Mm-hmm. You have opened up your home. You've invited non-believers and believers alike to come in and fellowship at your table. Yeah. I challenge you. I double dog dare you to do it. We've already seen miracles at my house, that just unbelievable commitments to Christ we never thought we'd see.
Yeah, some of your guests have gone in to be, you know, missions in the mission field, and and things that you've shared with me privately. We won't disclose, because, you know.
Well, Donna, what you have been doing in your home, I'm very aware of that, and I love it, because it is actually what the New Testament church in the book of Acts was, coming together, fellowshipping, breaking bread with one another, but also the teaching of good, solid doctrine. Now, I think it's interesting. There's a couple of things as we get closer and closer to arrival of the Antichrist, the beast, and this false harlot church, and the role that it's going to play in persecuting those who are true believers and literally causing them to be driven into an underground setting. Jesus said one of the most amazing things in John 16:2, when he said, the time is coming that whosoever kills you, he's talking to the church, will think that they're doing God service. Imagine
you scratch your head.
The state of mind, right? Mm-hmm. Where could you be that you actually believe you are in the ministry by killing other people who profess to be Christians? But Dr. J. Vernon McGee, one of America's most profound and beloved Bible teachers of the past century, he taught that the day is coming when the real church is going to be driven underground. A.W. Tozer, he never prophesied about anything, but in one of his books, he writes this: let me go out on a limb a little bit and prophesy. I see the time coming when all of the holy men whose eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit will desert worldly evangelicalism one by one. The house, that is, institutionalism, institutionalized Christianity will be left desolate. There will not be a man of God, a man in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, left among them. Talking about institutionalized Christianity.
That's right. That's right.
So this is really kind of a summary of what you've written, and mm-hmm. but you're saying we're here now. This is where we are at. The trigger events have been set in motion. Right now, restrictions on the freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we really are in Orwell's 1984, yeah, aren't we?
Well, and you know, 3-4 weeks ago, we talked about the definition of a cult. Since I would be so bold as to say that is what the Western Church, capital C, is becoming, is a cult. I would remind that several weeks ago, we said the definition of a cult as we warmed it to against both fires of the etymological definition and the biblical definition, it describes when a group turns its back on the doctrines and tenets mm-hmm. of its own faith. Now, the tenets of Christianity, the creed of Christianity, Joe, is I read the Bible, I follow Christ. But the statistics prove that our deeds say, no, I don't. So when your deeds right. and your creeds don't match, that's called hypocrisy. And we wonder why nobody's in the church anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Allie, let's switch gears for just a minute. You've been talking about the church's ability to balance the message between love and then this legalism side in order to try to reach the lost, somewhere between preaching the absolute truth and then maybe mm-hmm. presenting some entertainianity in the mix, mm-hmm. just to kind of titillate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, stay on this truth wagon, numbers are down. This is very boring. You know, we need a little more titillation. The church trying to balance all that. Not that there's a thing wrong if you have a great worship team and that's
right.
Right.
I'm not putting it down, but when you miss, like Donna's describing, the focus of then preaching the absolute truth mm-hmm. instead of being tolerant to and welcoming from the platform, at least in your church, all of this other random nonsense theology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult because there are good people in the institution of the church, mm-hmm. and it's like everybody is waiting for someone else to jump up and fix it. So the mm-hmm. first thing I would say is, you know, if you're in the institution of the church and you feel like these things don't apply to you, I do follow Christ, I do read my Bible, I do, mm-hmm. you know, then stop waiting for someone else to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Get up and be the change uh-huh. that you are hoping right. somebody else will be.
That's it.
Because we really can change this, even from the ground up. You think, well, I'm a janitor, I'm not a pastor. Great.
Right.
From where you are, start now, start today. There's no more time to waste. But the church has this challenge of dealing with relevance. We live in a postmodern world where if I don't like what you're telling me, I can go down the road somewhere else and I don't have to ever listen to you again.
Right.
And so we don't have to accept things that we don't want to hear. Well, if you're speaking the truth and the truth is inconvenient, you run people off. So how does this work? It comes in when we preach Jesus as Savior and Lord.
There you go.
When we preach him as Savior, we turn him into Santa Claus. When we preach him as only Lord, we turn him into a legalistic judge waiting to smack us on the head. We have to preach him as both. And what we have to understand, and I mentioned this, I think, last week, people are wired toward reconciliation and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of ourselves that we lost in the fall, and we are secretly looking for it, even though we don't realize it. It's so subconsciously seated. We see it played out in situations like when a person who has an abusive parent marries someone who's similar to that parent. Somewhere deep inside their heart, they're trying to revisit the situation with that parent and make it redeemed this time.
Right.
This time, if this person who reminds me of this person loves me, then that person would have also, and now I'm okay with this scar. See, this is we play this game with ourselves in little ways all the time. We live trying to find redemption and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do this in a church setting? We have to preach him as Savior and Lord, which means, yes, he saved you. Yes, he is going to change your life. He's going to save you from your sins. All of these things that's been given on the cross, that is done. He said it is finished. But now you make him Lord. How did you get to a place where you were so desperate and in so much pain that you came seeking that redemption? You were in pain because your life was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Why was your life broken? Because we live in a fallen, sinful world. What's the remedy for that? Make him the Lord.
Yeah.
Let him come in. Let him fix in you what is broken. So now, as people in the church, everybody's going, yeah, that's right. Let's do that. How do we do that for those who come in? Understand that people don't walk in and say, I'm vulnerable, I'm broken, fix
right,
me.
Exactly. Right.
You know, they walk in and they look like they've got a chip on their shoulder, or they look like they've got their act together and they don't need you and they're only here because what, on Sunday morning they had nothing better to do than get up and get dressed and go to church? No, I'm sorry. That's not the society we live in. People come to your church, they're looking for something, whether they're willing to admit it or not, but we have our guard on. Mm-hmm. And we see them walk in and we go, that guy's got a chip on his shoulder. That lady's a snob. This girl's that guy. And we judge them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we have to understand, let's just back away from that for a minute and think about this like it's a foster family. Now, I know that foster families, there are some out there that they mm-hmm. are not the ideal setting, but let's pretend we are going to give a foster home and it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. You don't bring that child in the first night when they arrive with all their pain and their scarring and yeah. wherever they've just been brought in from. It's an emergency situation. They're in your house suddenly. Mm-hmm. You don't go, okay, rule number one. Put your plate in the dishwasher. Rule number two, take your shoes off before you walk in the carpet. You don't act that way. You right, love on right, them. You right. make them feel yes. safe. And you deal with those other little things as they come up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's the worst thing Christians do. We forget who we are in this family.
Yeah.
We are not the foster parents. We are older foster siblings.
Mm, yes.
So
good.
At most, our angle on this is, Dad's not going to like this when he gets home. Let's right? jump in and clean this up together. I'll help you.
Wow.
We yes. are not other people's bosses. We bring them to Jesus. We preach Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then we let Jesus fix them.
Yeah.
Wow, yes.
Yeah. You say that all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
We're going to take a quick break and show you how you can get a copy of Dark Covenant. Watch this.
Call now and get Reverend Donna Howell and Special Investigator Allie Hinson's brand new eye-opening book, Dark Covenant, along with a never-before-released four-part Dark Covenant companion DVD and Occultianity, How the End Times Church is Forming Now in Preparation of Antichrist on DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our SkyWatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. In the new book, Dark Covenant, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the mark of the beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, why much of the church has been lulled into slumber over the preceding decades and is unprepared to be a force for good in our troubled world, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. You'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Allie Hinson, and the SkyWatch investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive Occultianity, How the End Times Church is Forming Now in Preparation of Antichrist. In this exclusive, never-before-released DVD, Donna Howell and Allie Hinson walk you step-by-step through the well-laid plans of an occult oligarchy who are, as we speak, advancing the way for the system of Antichrist, all while a silent, complacent church has forgotten the true power of the body of Christ and are inadvertently laying the foundation for the bloodiest cult the world has ever seen. This DVD alone is a last day's warning that all true believers must have that will equip God's anointed with the knowledge and power they need to set people free from the powers of deception. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of more than $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for the coming days of religious fallout as a ready soldier for the coming true Messiah. The Dark Covenant special offer, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Artis Horn, and we've been joined in the studio for the last several weeks, the authors of the book Dark Covenant, Donna Howell, Allie Hinson, and we are really getting close to the end of this series. With just a few minutes left, Donna, earlier you talked about, and you didn't use the word Jericho, but basically that was what you were describing when you were talking about your home church group, the one that you and your husband have opened up, the miracles that you've
mm-hmm.
seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we nicknamed that the Jericho Challenge.
The Jericho
yeah.
Challenge. Okay, so there you go. There's your Jericho Challenge. but you also kind of talk about in Dark Covenant some of the cautions Mm-hmm. Where maybe doing something like that presents some stumbling blocks.
Yeah, briefly. Well, first of all, so Jesus makes it clear that, you know, that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, or those religious spirited people will, you know, hearken in every way they can to make a proselyte, and they make mm-hmm. them twice a child of hell as themselves. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that if you can get them to jump through your hoops, you can get them to memorize your theology and get them to sign on the dotted line or whatever, but you turn them into a religious bigot, and you make them the opposite of help. Gotcha. I feel like it's a comedy moment where Jesus is saying you're doing the opposite of help.
Yeah.
So don't proselytize. If you open up your home, don't proselytize. That's the first. Second thing, make sure that what you're doing is theologically responsible. Mm-hmm. Don't get together and do like what we talked about last week, where everybody comes together and do pole dancing and spin without right. sin. If that's what you're doing at your house and you're doing this, you didn't even realize you were participating in Asherah pole worship thing. There is an outline in the book. I will let them read it in the book because I don't want to take up too much time, but there is an outline. There's some be careful isms in the margin of opening up your home into a micro congregation situation that they need to be very well careful about.
And I know that, Tom, you saw that in ministry. I remember a couple of times where home church groups were launched almost as a vindictive act against the church they were leaving.
Oh.
Well, if you're not going to do things, well, then I'm just going to go. So, I mean, obviously there's caveats.
Church.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're pulling members out and it becomes this hurtful thing in the community. And then and nobody goes to church. Like anybody sensible just washes their hands of it and does something else. But before we run out of time, Allie, we talked also about the year 2020. A lot of people felt like there was a war waged on the church. Mm-hmm. Being told they have to shut down, communities divided.
Yeah.
What do you think the response from churchgoers should be?
Well, it's hard because, you know, there are scriptures that say to obey the law of the land, and then there are scriptures that say, don't let anybody intimidate you into not standing for the word of God. So how, like, especially the pastors that are having to make this judgment call, my heart goes out to them. Yeah,
me too.
And anytime a pastor can work with the local government to work out something that's peaceable so that the church can keep operating. I mean, obviously I recommend that. You get more bees with honey. Why would you purposely make enmity with your local government? Yeah. That's going to last later. It overflows into your community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they are mandating that you shut down and you're faced with this decision, do I operate illegally or do I shut down? And either way, it's a statement of where I stand.
Yeah.
How about this? How about we start being the kinds of churches that are so diversified in the kinds of ministry that we carry out that when they shut our building on a Sunday, they only hit one thing on our list.
Right.
Yes.
Why not have every kind of ministry you can think of? Be in the parks, in the cities, handing out sack lunches, do discipleship in homes, meet in restaurants while restaurants are open. You know, even then, in your building.
Zoom, which was really smart.
Zoom. There's a million ways. If you start thinking creatively, what would you do, God forbid, if your building burnt down?
Right.
Would your church be shut down forever, or would you continue? Start adding that to your repertoire of things that you can do so that when they close your building, be so out of the box and so out of the building that when they shut down your Sunday morning, then we go to this other backup plan we've already got.
Yeah.
Donna, we're running out of time. What do you think? Do you have any final thoughts? Leave the viewer at home with the person that might be on the fence. Maybe they've really been compelled over the last few weeks. What they're talking about is real. I mean, my community's falling apart. Everything evil is being described as good. Good is being described as evil. Mainstream media is setting the narrative. A lot of churches feel like a lot of what's going on, everything is very leveraged against them. And yet, your book, Dark Covenant, not only identifies all of this, but also leaves the viewer with a lot of hope.
Yeah,
stuff that
does.
They can do.
Yeah.
And never forget that Jesus is 50 gajillion times bigger than all this trivial stuff that our government and our leaders are attempting to do to shut the church. And a lot of times revival is only precluded by pushback.
Yeah.
People having to dig into the trenches even deeper. And as much as I literally dread as an American what's going on in this country right now, I have identified that it has started to awaken some folks.
Yes, it has.
People that have been comfortable for a very long time are now for the first time. Tom, you and I talked last year about some of the polling that came out when the lockdowns and stuff were started, that self-identified atheists and agnostics and I forget if it was Rasmussen, but it was a reputable poll came out and said that for the first time in their lifetimes, they were asking questions about this beast system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they're seeing the trends, the masks, the government. Mm-hmm. There's talks of you won't even be able to fly without proof of vaccination. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, that's really rings a bell. I remember a preacher once in a goofy-looking suit saying something about that. You know, yeah, I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
So in the final few moments, mm-hmm. with the world where it is, what is your charge to the viewer at home?
Actually, I would like to end with an excerpt, two excerpts from the book back to back. First of all, we have the warning side of the book. If today's church is guilty of getting off track, which we have, and of lackadaisically remaining off track while we drift further away from the truth, which we are, then we are choosing to attempt to redress the powerful name of Christ by adorning it in the clothing of Revelation's harlot. When we are apathetic to the lives of the martyrs who were slain to keep Jesus' mission pure, we are removing the white robe of innocence from our culture's perception of the cross and are choosing to join the harlot while she gets drunk on the blood of the saints, Revelation 17:6. It goes into a place that I think is a bit deep for the final thought, but over here toward the end, you get to the end. The book goes on to say, the true church of Jesus Christ knows no bounds and stops for no force. Sorry, that is so exciting to me.
Come on.
The church as an institution came about as a result of the church as a body and not the other way around. You cannot kill the remnant because it's made of spirit-filled radicals like the 12 all over the world, sold out for Jesus Christ and ready to do whatever it takes to thrive in his calling. And it will always exist, even unto the end. Mm-hmm. So I want to say this. I want to say this if you're at home. Listen, I said this before on Jim Baker, and I'll say it again. God can make an entire great awakening happen with only one voice, and it could be yours. It could be one of yours. You kids here from the Christian Ministry Academy, your calling is so much bigger than you realize.
That's right.
Don't let any goobery little thing stand in your way from radically doing what God has called you to do. Be bold in what you do.
Right.
Christianity is being increasingly viewed as the voice of hate.
Yep.
Your voice of love has to be so much louder.
Yep. Right. That's right.
And I will end with this. Give God your yes, whatever it is. Give him your yes. Because if you give him your I'm not ready or your I don't think so or come back later, you might have missed your chance. Give God your yes and be radical about it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
I would just say Donna has basically, I'm over here, amen, Donna, that's right. Everything I wanted to say to the church, she's basically summed up. But, you know, to people who aren't even in the church, to people who are for whatever reason watching this and they are not with us on our biblical beliefs, watch what's going on around you. Watch the headlines. Watch what's being conditioned to society. Watch what your kids are watching. Mm-hmm. Your kids are being conditioned right now to accept things that are not okay with you. I promise you, there's so much more in the book we talk about. The world that our children are being raised in is changing. And the only way to contradict what's being programmed into our children every day is to be a voice that's louder.
That's right.
We have to be right on it. We have to be involved with them. And we have to be the voice of reason in a world that makes absolutely no sense.
That has to do with our Christianity.
It has to do with our worldview. It has to do with our parenting style. It has to do with the way we carry ourselves at work. Don't be a Sunday morning Christian. Get out there and do it every day, all day long, the best you can. Mm-hmm. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Amen.
Perfect.
I'm not even going to try to follow that. I couldn't have said it better myself. Guys, the book is Dark Covenant by Allie Henson, Donna Howell. Make sure you get a copy. This is a field guide for churches right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
For everybody in studio and everybody on panel, ladies, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.
Thank you for watching. Keep up with all of our programs, including our web exclusives, by subscribing to our channel at Rumble and following us on Facebook and Twitter. To find out how to support our ministry, log on to skywatchtv.com/donate.